Welcome to Novelist Spotlight, the podcast where published fiction writers are interviewed to gather their insights and writing lessons so we can use them to make ourselves better and more effective writers. There are just three things I ask of you, if appropriate to you and your experience. Please subscribe, please click on the like button, and please share this program link with any family members, friends, or colleagues who might be interested or benefit from the content. Now, on with our program. I was in my 20s when I first read On the Road by Jack Kerouac. I just felt like I had to read it because it was such a famous book. It sounded like it was going to be a gas. And I was underwhelmed by the experience at the time. I remember thinking that, what was all the excitement about? What was all the fuss about? Well, I just recently reread the book. And what a different experience that was. I get it now. Jack Kerouac, On the Road, The Beat Generation, the late 1940s. And I have to tell you that the audio version, read by Will Patton, is fantastic. Will Patton is just a cool guy, and he sounds like you would imagine Jack Kerouac to be sounding when he was taking off for California into Denver. And this, the book, those of you who haven't read it, those of you who have read it, but it was a long time ago, he goes through so many different cities in America, including some small towns, one of which a couple of which I've lived in, I mean, including San Francisco and Tracy, California, of all places, which was a railroad town at the time. I mean, the start of the book is a rocket ride. It's a great start. I don't want to call it a travelogue because that diminishes it, but I understand now what I didn't understand earlier in life about how in the 1940s people didn't get in a vehicle or on a train and just head to California. Well, at the time that was sort of a what are you going to do that for kind of thing. Let me read you the first paragraph of his obituary from the New York Times because I think it sums the man up nicely. It says, Jack Kerouac, the novelist who named The Beat Generation and exuberantly celebrated its rejection of middle-class American values, died early yesterday of a massive abdominal hemorrhage in a St. Petersburg, Florida hospital. He was 47 years old. 47. I didn't even know what Jack Kerouac looked like, and as I was listening to the audio edition of On the Road, looked him up, very handsome guy, obviously had no trouble attracting people to himself. And then I went to see the movie. I mean, I ordered the movie off of YouTube and just Chromecasted it to the big screen. And if you like a sexy, fast-paced Mad Dog movie, good watching. And this is after I had read the book, so it didn't try to be the book. And because those of you who have read On the Road, you know from the nature of the book that it actually can lend itself well to a movie because you can just pick your shots. You can just, I mean, literally pick your cinematic shots from the book. And it actually elaborated on what was going on in the book in a way that I had not experienced before. It was this. There was a lot of stuff not said in the book because it was the late 1940s and you didn't talk about sex or homosexuality at that time in writing. And the movie brought that to life. Francis Ford Coppola was not the director of the movie, but he was involved in the movie. And I forget who the director was, but it's worth seeing the movie. But of course, the book was landmark. And one of the amazing things about the book is that Jack Kerouac had spent something on the order of 60-plus days, I think it was 67 days at a fire lookout. So basically he spent 67 consecutive days alone in the forest in a tower looking for fires. And it was after that that he ended up writing the book in a matter of 3 weeks. And one of the interesting things he did is he wrote it on a scroll. He didn't use sheets of paper, an entire scroll of paper, almost like newsprint on a web press machine. He took the scroll into the editor at the publishing company, and he said, this thing's going to have to be cut into pages. And Kerouac said, what for? He said, because this thing needs to be edited. He goes, that manuscript will not be edited. And the editor said, why not? And he said, because that was channeled from the Holy Ghost. I mean, 3 weeks bashing away at the old-fashioned Underwood or Smith Corona typewriter, an entire scroll like he was writing the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I think he knew he had something special. He insisted that this thing, don't touch it. You know, it came from somewhere else. It was etheric. I was just the vessel through which it was communicated. And I love the start of the book. Again, I mean, it was the start's a rocket ride. The ending's good, too. In between, it has its lulls along the way, like any book does. But, you know, according to the history on it, so here's On the Road, written in 3 weeks. But it took him 7 years to get it published. It wasn't until 1957 that the book came out. And, you know, Jack Kerouac is quoted as one of the quotes from the book that the New York Times lifted for the obituary goes like this, and I quote, "The only people for me are the mad ones, the ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, desirous of everything at the same time." That's a sentence right there from On the Road, and you definitely get that from the novel. You definitely get it from the movie. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. If you had the experience I had where you read it years ago and it just didn't do anything for you, listen to Will Patton read it for you, because the energy and the inflection, the excitement that he brings to it, and Will Patton's a well-known reader on Audible for audiobooks, so he's a pro at what he does. So the book finally comes out in 1957. You can imagine the frustration. We all know that frustration of trying to get something published. It takes forever. It comes out in 1957 and immediately became a basic text. I'm going to look at the New York Times obituary again. It said it immediately became a basic text for youth who found their country claustrophobic and oppressive. And that's really what you get from the sense I got from the book, was busting out. I just need the open road. I need to travel. I need to go places. I need to see people. I need to see things. What Jack Kerouac did with On the Road is he innovated. I mean, the people who admire Jack Kerouac talk about this as a landmark novel. It's a major literary innovation. And there was stream of consciousness writing there. There was the act of writing about oneself. I mean, today autofiction or autobiographical fiction is very popular, but at the time you didn't write about yourself. So Jack Kerouac's subject was Jack Kerouac. And his method of writing was bursts of spontaneity. Took lots of notes. That's one of the things that the movie showed him, taking a lot of notes as he traveled. The book, of course, doesn't talk about that because he's actually just laying it out there. All those notes that he took along the way were laid out there in the book itself. It wasn't maybe a self-conscious. I mean, today the book doesn't feel self-conscious because nowadays people write that way. People write about themselves all the time, and not just in autobiographies, but in fiction. So Jack Kerouac is known as the father of the Beat Generation. These are young people who rejected middle-class values and lived different lives. Not the first time that's happened. I mean, it's still happening now. It's always happened, and it's always going to continue to happen. But what a turning point that was in American history when young people started thinking in terms of living a life that wasn't so restricted, where they just kind of spilled out and decided that mom and dad's life was not the life that they were going to live. And I said earlier that Jack Kerouac said no, this book is not going to be edited. It was channeled from the Holy Ghost. But he also regarded revision, like revising your writing, as a form of lying. I mean, writers think in terms of editing. Write it, and then you edit it, and you refine it, and you refine it. And there's multiple drafts of it. And Jack Kerouac just thought, it came out that way for a reason. And to mess with it is to start to pervert it. I remember I had a college roommate who was a composition major who was very much along these lines. He wrote his composition, and another music major who was there with him said, aren't you going to revise that? And he said, no. He says, I never do. Well, why not? And he says, because that's what I was feeling at the time, so that's what I'm going with. And the other roommate said, you're just too lazy. You're just too lazy to revise it. You're too lazy to rewrite it, take the time to do it. Well, Truman Capote kind of dug that with Jack Kerouac, because he called his method of composition typing, not writing. And that's not what I got from the book. I mean, the sentences communicate, the paragraphs communicate, the story rolls on, characters evolve. The famous Allen Ginsberg is one of those characters, right? Apparently appears under multiple names in there and on the road. But Ginsberg regarded Kerouac as the greatest American poet of his time. Now, Ginsberg, who was gay, certainly had a crush on Kerouac, who was not gay, to my knowledge. But he liked hanging out with the dude. It was lots of fun. And Dean Moriarty, what a character he is. If you remember Dean, it starts right off with Jack and Dean. And Dean, who also has passed, was a maniac. He was a maniac. But he was an endless source of excitement and fun. Jack had a problem with drinking. I mean, he was born in Lowell, Massachusetts. His dad was French-Canadian. He was a printer. Jack spoke French early in life. An athlete in high school, played football, heads off to Columbia University, the great Columbia University in New York City. Served in the military during the war. But he was in the Navy only briefly, and then he was discharged as a guy having a quote-unquote schizoid personality. So Jack was different. That's what made him special, really. So after they boot him out of the Navy, he returns to New York City. He became good friends with Allen Ginsberg, who was at Columbia at the time, an undergraduate student at Columbia. Meets William Burroughs, another famous member of the Beat Generation. He's a descendant of a wealthy St. Louis family. So you got this interesting and combustible mix of characters. So, and on the road, I mean, the dude was constantly on the road. He goes from New York to Denver. He goes to San Francisco. He goes to Mexico City. He goes back to New York. Along the way, he also hit places like Tracy, California. He hit Fresno, California. Lots of places he names in the book that just small towns, places that I've spent some time in my life. So it's always interesting to read a classic piece of writing that takes you to places that you've spent time. So the history on this is that Jack Kerouac did a lot of traveling with a guy named, he was a young drifter from Denver, his name is Neil Cassady, who became the main character in On the Road, meaning Dean Moriarty. And this guy had a hunger for experience, and according to the record on this, he also had an affinity for theology and literature. And so even though Neil Cassady never was a published writer, he supposedly wrote these voluminous letters that were fast, mad, confessional, serious, and they're detailed. And Kerouac later said that those letters gave him the idea for this, you know, spontaneous style of writing. And so the inspiration, I had never knew this, but the inspiration for On the Road was a letter that Neil Cassidy wrote to Jack Kerouac that was 40,000 words in length, basically half a novel, like a novella. So Jack does his thing, becomes the father of the Beat Generation, and supposedly the word beat was used to signify, you know, feelings of despair and nearness to an apocalypse that impelled Kerouac and his friends really to reach out for new experiences. Isn't that always the case? No matter what era we live in, we feel like the apocalypse is near, that doom is near. Human beings always kind of veer towards the negative and thinking the end is near. Maybe it's because we're mortal and we know that the end we're really thinking in terms of isn't the end of humanity, it's the end of ourselves, our own extinction, from at least from the mortal stage. So Kerouac later came up with that phrase, Beat Generation, and said that, he explained that beat was short for beatific. And if you don't remember your vocabulary words, beatific, I just looked it up just to make sure I've got this right, because it's a word I once knew, pretty cold. Blissfully happy, let's put it that way. Beatific means blissfully happy. That's a great generation to be a part of, right? A blissfully happy generation. Of course, there's some contradictions there, because this was also a generation that was frustrated and wanted to break out. Well, I guess when they did, then it was beatific. The other thing I didn't know about Kerouac is he had published a novel earlier. It was a conventional run-of-the-mill novel called The Town and the City. And apparently was a minor, according to New York Times, was a minor critical success. And a complete commercial failure. When have we heard that before? All the time, right? Critics love it. The general public doesn't like it. Published in 1950 by Harcourt Brace, famous publishing house. And then there were the books that followed that, you know, after On the Road. I mean, he had that first novel. Then he writes On the Road and really teaches people a different way to approach the whole writing game. I mean, anytime you do that, you're going to be remembered. But the novels followed that as well, like The Dharma Bums was 1959 when that one was released. He's also got one called Big Sur. But Kerouac called himself a religious wanderer. In fact, he called himself a Dharma bum, and hence the title of that book, The Dharma Bums, in 1959. I want to read you a little more from the New York Times obituary, because I think this really hits the mark. And it reads like so: but there were moments when On the Road had a sharp edge of social comment. For instance, when Sal Paradis, the name the novelist assigned to himself, wanders through the black section of Denver, quote, wishing I were a Negro, feeling that the best the white world had offered was not enough ecstasy for me, not enough life, joy, kicks, darkness, music, not enough life, end quote. So the black writer Eldridge Cleaver eventually cited that passage as a cultural turning point for white America. I don't know how true that is, but I will say that Kerouac obviously noticed the cultural, those stark cultural differences, especially at the time, I think, between how white people and black people lived in terms of how emotive they were. So Kerouac married three times, typical of a male writer, right, that they've got Multiple wives, drinking heavily, very common, at least in the past, that writers sat with their bottle of booze next to them. Was a lonely guy, very typical of writers, isolation of writers, the time spent alone in a room, trying to express themselves in ways that they don't feel like they can express themselves when they're in usual social situations. And one of the things that was interesting to me is that I was watching a documentary on Kerouac. I wanted to dive a little bit more deeply into the man's character. He was a very patriotic American. I mean, he did serve in the military. He had to. It was wartime. But he was not a guy who was into radical politics. He wasn't looking to change the government or overthrow the government. He was a patriotic guy, but he wanted the, I mean, I guess you could say that isn't that what America embodies, that whole idea of freedom of choice and freedom of movement? You don't need a passport to leave your city or to go from one state to another. There are countries where you have to have your papers. You don't have that freedom of movement. The United States has always been a place where you could move about freely and basically do what you want to do as long as you're not harming other people. And I think Kerouac recognized that and thought there's. Yeah, this is something we want to preserve, not something we want to reject, or not something we want to bring down. So I felt like I was on the road with Jack Kerouac while Will Patton was reading his book to me. If you haven't read On the Road, I recommend it. If you have read it, you might have had the experience I had and want to reread it. Again, the audio version, not every, the audio version is not for everybody. I've said this before, I read all day because I'm a magazine editor and writer. And so when it comes time to evening time and I want to immerse myself in literary places, I like somebody to read to me. It's an old form of storytelling. You know, back before we had the printing press, when people would tell stories to one another, I like somebody talking to me and telling me a story. I like to talk, but I also like to listen. And audiobooks are really well suited to me. It gives you the freedom of movement while listening. I can be driving down the street, I can be shopping at Costco, I can be exercising at home or the gym, taking a walk, lying in bed in the during the evening and listening to some really great stuff. So much of it's about the reader, of course. The writer and the reader. But yeah, you got to have a great reader. That's why those samples on Audible are critical. They don't really tell you whether the book is for you or not, but at least you know whether can I listen to this person for 10 hours or 15 or 20 hours. I mean, right now I've got a 37-hour book going. Simon Vance, another great reader, he's reading that one. It's Imagica by Clive Barker, who I want to talk about in a future podcast. So that's all I got. I know I've been meandering like Jack Kerouac running across the country, but I just wanted to say something about it. It was an experience to come back to this book, and an experience to be thinking in terms of a time in our literary history, in our country, first of all, when people started to do things that were different, that were adventuresome. And then the writing of a book that made a mark. I mean, still is making a mark to this day, but at the time it really made a mark. Really sad that I'm sad that Kerouac died so young, because who knows what he might have also been also written. There is another book I didn't mention, The Subterraneans, which is another one of his supposedly his most popular, or one of the most popular. Obviously, On the Road's the most popular. Now, and supposedly that one was written in only 3 days. True or false? I don't know. And the book ends with the novelist at the end of an unhappy love affair, sitting down to quote unquote write this book. documenting his life again. And I would just also point you to the movie as well. Read the book first, but the movie is a lot of fun. It's got Kristen Stewart in it. I mean, it's wild. The women and the men in this movie, there are scenes in this movie that are just pure adrenaline. And there are some dancing scenes. I mean, it's drugs and dancing and travel and a lot of collisions with people, among people. Really an enjoyable movie. I rarely like a movie after the book, but this one is, again, I think the key is that there are so many cinematic moments in the book that you could just lift those out, put together a collection of vignettes for the movie, and the movie's confusing and it's freewheeling and it's fast-paced, and that makes it just like the book. But at the same time, it's not trying to be the book. And that's where so many adaptations of a novel to a screenplay fail, is that they're trying to do what the book did. And you can't really do that very effectively. You need to just excerpt it. And not every novel out there is really made to be handled that way, because you're trying to tell this heavily plotted story. On the Road is not a heavily plotted story. There's just these cinematic liftouts that they can do, and that they did do. Terrific movie. Not for everybody. My wife didn't really dig it. I mean, she was up and walking around the house and doing a few things while I was sitting there riveted to it. And this book was well timed for me in another way, because my wife and I are going on the road soon. Not in this way, but you know, it's Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Montreal, Canada, and Quebec City, Canada, New Orleans, Louisiana. We love to travel. And you know, if you're not traveling, you might as well be reading stuff that makes you feel all those the experiences of travel. Thank you for listening. This is my Council for Novelist Spotlight.